After a lifetime at CBS News, it probably takes a lot to rattle Bob Schieffer. He's the steady, mature hand at the network, guiding its political showcase, Face the Nation, every Sunday morning. But as you'll hear, the anchorman couldn't help but get a little giddy over the announcement that his show is growing from 30 to 60 minutes. This is Bob Andelman for Pointer Online and MediaWire. I recently talked to Bob Schieffer about his show's rise in the ratings and its long-awaited reward. You can read more about this story and other breaking journalism news on MediaWire, only at pointer.org. Congratulations on the expansion of Face the Nation. Was this a long time in the works, or did this just kind of come up?
That would be the understatement of the year. I have literally been trying for 20 years. When Tim Russert first went to NBC, when he took over Meet the Press, and asked them to give him an hour, and the proposal he made was to give me 3 months, give me an hour for 3 months, and if it works, fine. If not, I'll give you the half hour back. He got his bosses to okay that, and within weeks after going to an hour, they went to number one. And along about that same time, I'd gone to my bosses and said, you know, they're going to an hour. I think it's really going to hurt. The bosses at the time said, no, it won't make any difference, and there's no, we're not interested in doing that. So off and on for the last 20 years, of every 2 or 3 years, I'll go in and say, how about going to an hour? I think we can really make it work. And we have new bosses now. Jeff Fager, who's the chairman of CBS, he's the producer of 60 Minutes, and David Rhodes. And they said, you know, it's time to try that. And the reason they decided to do it is we have just had very good numbers this year. And it's very unusual for us to have, this is really, especially at the beginning of football season, is really the weakest time for us because we get pushed all over the schedule in some of the Western and Mountain time zones. And people have been so interested in this campaign, and our numbers have been so good that they said, let's do it. And so, frankly, I'm still in kind of a state of shock. But I'm just really happy about it.
I thought it might have been the muscle tees that you had started wearing on the show. Then maybe that was.
Listen, if I'd have thought that had helped, I would have.
Oh, good answer, sir. Well, what is different, though, do you think? Is it just the campaign? Are you guys doing anything different, do you think?
No. We don't do things different. We try to, sit the people down at the table, the key newsmakers, whoever it happens to be that week, and we turn on the lights and ask them questions. Our show is bells and whistles free, so to speak. We don't do any gimmicks or any of that kind of thing. It's still information driven. But I think what really has made the difference is we just made a decision early on that we were just going to try to cover every aspect of this presidential campaign. And it's turned out to be so wacky and so interesting and so just sometimes off the wall that people have really been interested in, and because we've stuck to that, and it takes a lot to move us off that. I mean, obviously, when we had the Arab Spring, we had some Sundays when we'd come in at 5 o'clock in the morning and throw everything out and just start from scratch, lining up whoever we could get on the scene. Same thing happened with the Japanese earthquake and that, but otherwise we just have stayed right on this presidential campaign, and we've tried to have at least one of the candidates every week, and there have not been many weeks when we've not been able to do that, and people are really responding to it. I mean, there's a great deal of interest out there in politics and where the country's headed right now. I mean, for example, when we televised the debate from South Carolina, which I had no part of, but when CBS did it, we had 5 million viewers, and that's a lot of people to watch a show on a Saturday night. I think, and as a matter of fact, the ABC had an even larger audience when they did theirs last week, and that just shows you that the interest, as we're getting closer and closer, the interest is building. So we think it's a hot story, and we're going to try to stay on it.
So you're hoping that there will continue to be candidate missteps and all kinds of, as you put it, wacky stuff.
Well, I mean, I'm just happy to see the campaign going on. And, you know, I think all of these debates have really had something to do with our success, because some of them have been on a Saturday night. Some of them have been late in the week. And it gives us something fresh to ask people about on Sunday morning to follow up on that. Just like we did this Sunday, Michelle Bachmann was our guest. And, you know, one of the questions I asked her, and it just kind of occurred to me as I was watching the debate, when all the other candidates just really tore into to Newt Gingrich about his three marriages, she sort of didn't. And so he gave me a question to ask. I'd be interested to know, you know, why you didn't attack him directly. And she gave you know, a good enough answer. But I mean, it's just interesting. The debates give us these opportunities to ask, as it were, follow-up questions, and I think that always makes, you know, is interesting.
And Bob, Americans tend to have this short memory. I was talking to my wife about this yesterday, that the same people complain that the economy isn't better today than it was 3 years ago, but they sort of forget how bad it was 3 years ago. Put this campaign in perspective for me. You've seen a lot of them. You've covered a tremendous number of them. Is this really any different than previous campaigns for the nomination?
Well, I think all campaigns generally boil down to the economy. That is, if it's not the overall, unless you just have some enormous threat to the country from abroad, our campaigns in America generally don't tend to be very much about foreign policy. They're about the economy. And this one is that in spades, because you've got this unemployment at levels that it just hasn't been historically. I mean, you know, 27, I think, of the last 29 months, you've had unemployment, is it at 9% or even more? Well, that just hasn't happened when you've had unemployment that high for that long, and you have to go all the way back to Roosevelt to find a situation like that. So this is more than ever going to be an election that comes down to jobs and the economy, I think. And historically, you know, we've had some kind of weirdos that have leapt out there as candidates and people who have become voices and so forth. You generally tend to see that in hard economic times, and you know, you can think back to the Great Depression, where you know, some of these people that came to the fore, you think, how in the world did they ever get there? But when there's frustration because people don't have jobs, you see that. I mean, I think both the Occupy movement and the Tea Party are just, you know, left and right wing versions of the same frustration out there. Both of those movements would deny that they have anything to do with the other, but I think they both come out of the same frustration with the economy.
Let me ask you this. There's been a lot of criticism of this crew of candidates as maybe not being the brightest we've had in years past. Is that on target, or you've interviewed them, you've met with them. Is that an overstatement?
Well, I always hesitate to, you know, pronounce somebody dumb or stupid or brilliant even. I don't think number one that's my place, and I wouldn't be qualified to do that. But I think we have seen some candidates come to the fore here that might not be as informed as we would hope that they are, and sometimes that does come on a little bit. It does kind of surprise you. I mean, Herman Cain, who seemed to keep confusing Libya with Afghanistan, and there just seemed to be some gaps in his knowledge, but. You know, I guess you're always going to have that. What I find interesting about this race right now is how much dissatisfaction there is among the Republican voters with Newt Romney, who continues to get 20-25% of the vote. But there's a certain segment there. There's just this wide gulf between the left and the right of the Republican Party. The ones on the left, the more or less the establishment Republicans, seem to like him okay. The ones on the right just do not like him at all, and for all kinds of reasons. And that's why you see, you know, first one and then another rise and fall as the alternative to Romney. And I think that's the interesting part. I mean, I don't think there are many people who follow American politics who would have thought that Newt Gingrich would have risen to the position he now seems to hold, where he's not only being seen by a large part of the Republican Party as an alternative to Romney. I mean, he sort of seems to be establishing himself as the front runner. I mean, I think he's up to 40% now in polls down in South Carolina, which will be a key primary state. He's leading out in Iowa right now. I just don't know anybody who would have foreseen that. But, I mean, it's for real. I don't think there's any question about that.
Makes you wonder if the electorate has just thrown up their hands in disgust and just said, fine, we'll go with this guy, let's move on, or, you know, if they're choosing him because they really want to choose him. There have been so many people that have risen and fallen so quickly in this race.
Well, I wouldn't, you know, it's hard to make a judgment on why they do, but clearly the reason it is happening is because there's this large segment of the party that just doesn't want anything to do with Mitt Romney.
Well, let me change gears on you before we have to let you go. This has been a busy week in the news for the Sunday panel shows. The announcement that you'll be going pretty soon to 60 Minutes from to a 60 Minute show from 30 Minute show. And I saw a report today that Christiane Amanpour may be stepping away from hosting this week on ABC as well.
I don't know about that. There are all kind of rumors going around. She's a fine reporter, and so I'm sure she'll wind up somewhere if in fact she does leave. But I don't know about that.
And all right, so let me ask you about your show. In terms of content, what can you do in 60 minutes that you couldn't in 30 minutes?
More. We don't plan to change the format at all. We plan to just use the time to ask a few more questions, to make the interview segments a little longer than they were. But we're not going to change something that we think is not broken. We think that what our viewers expect when they turn on Face the Nation is that we'll find the key newsmaker in the most important story of the week sitting there with us, and we'll try to ask them why they have taken the positions that they have, and you know, how they came to take the position that they hold. We don't ask many gotcha questions, you know. I mean, and I think this is true for all the Sunday morning shows. These are not shows that are about anchor antics and anchors showing off and gotcha questions and trying to trip people up to say something they don't mean. We're trying to find out exactly what they do mean. And the Sunday shows, and I think this is true for all of them, my competitors as well as ours, we're trying to advance the story. We're trying to make news. We're trying to find out why these people take the positions that they take and see if they can get to, give a good reason for taking those positions. That seems to be what people react to and what they want to hear. And, you know, one of the frustrations I have is in this age of, you know, kind of media management now that we're all into, and where, you know, managing information has become so sophisticated. Sometimes, you know, people will come on these shows and avoid the questions. And I don't think that helps them. I mean, I think a non-answer is an answer. And when they're avoiding the questions, when they don't answer, people know that. And so, you know, I may ask them the same question twice and maybe in a different form a third time. But if I don't get the answer by then, I go on to something else because I think they have given their answer, and people just don't like it. I think they make a real mistake when they come on our shows and are not prepared to answer the questions or to make news. My favorite person to have on Face the Nation was always Sam Nunn, the retired chairman of the Armed Services Committee. I'd call him up and ask him to be on, and he'd say, you know, I don't think so. I really don't have anything to say this week. And I always thought that was a great answer because he wasn't wasting my time and he wasn't wasting our listeners' time. And when he came on, you always knew he was going to say something of interest that would probably make news. And I think that's the philosophy and the strategy they all should have. Don't come on these shows if you're not prepared to answer the questions because you're going to look bad. You know, and I don't think you help yourself.
Pick your spots.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, I've got one more question for you. I appreciate your time today. This is a little off topic, but your CBS News career has now outlasted Dan Rather, Katie Couric, and Harry Smith, among others. What do you understand about the culture inside and the audience outside that maybe they didn't?
You know, that's a very good question, and I'll tell you, I'm not sure this is the reason I've lasted as long as I have, but I think it may have contributed to it. Until I came to the job I have now, Face the Nation, I was always a beat reporter, which meant I was always outside the office. I was either at Capitol Hill or at the White House or the State Department or in the very early days at the Pentagon. And because I always worked outside the office, seldom came to the office, I never really became embroiled in the inner office politics. And I think in a funny kind of way, and I'm absolutely serious when I say this, I think that had a great deal to do with my survival, as it were, for all these years.
Great answer. Interesting. And maybe a cautionary note to those who follow.
I'm telling you, that's what I tell these kids when things are not going your way and everybody has frustrations in the job. I just say, hunker down, concentrate on the news. Concentrate on the news. When you get a good story, they'll put it on the air. And that's always kind of been my policy. And all I can say is it worked for me.
Well, Bob, thank you so much for your time today. It was fascinating, and congratulations again on the
Well, thank you. As I say, once we get over the shock, we're all enjoying it, though, and it's. I think it's going to be a really good thing.
Well, good luck with it, sir.
Thank you, my friend.
All right, take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.